their actions.
Okay. Once in a while they do, but...
It's better than swallowing a couple times.
Yeah. They have to learn consequences.
Very selfish.
Okay, self-centered. Yeah. Yeah, under immature characteristics. Okay.
I figured so, but it's just...
Yeah, trusting to a fault. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can tell a kid if he gets in bed that if you get out of the bed, there's a monster in the bed and he'll get you.
Right.
He'll believe you. But then when they're scared to death and you tell them there's no monster under the bed, they won't believe you. Which brings up another one, which is what? Have you been around any little kids and you go up to them and you're really nice to them and you say, hi, how are you doing? And right behind mom's leg.
Shy. Scared.
Yeah. Fear. Big time. Okay? What are some others? Yeah. That's a K. All right. Is that how you spell that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Just as long as we're all wrong, you know. All right. How about, have you ever seen a little kid come home with their little art project that looks like a modern art kind of project? And they are so proud of it. Okay. What are they looking for? Yeah. Or the other day I was over at a friend's house and his little granddaughter was there. And she moseys on in and she sits up on the piano bench and she starts doing this. You know, making sure we're watching. Yeah, they really want attention. Okay, so they're attention seekers.
Did you? I said they're dependent.
Dependent, right.
They're also independent. They like to do things on their own, by themselves.
Okay. But they don't like to get too far away because they are that kind of deal, too. Yeah, they like to grow in independence. Like the two-year-old that can't feed themselves, me do, you know, all over. So, sort of, but that's a good characteristic in a sense. Wanting independence. That's growing in maturity. Okay? So let's not put that one on our slate. Let me see what else. Oh, what about the kid who goes to Walmart and doesn't get the toy he wants? What does he do? Yeah, lays down on the floor and starts kicking and screaming. So we have tantrums, pouting. Okay. How about the two kids get caught fighting on the playground? What's the conversation like when the teacher comes up? He started. Well, he called me a so-and-so, yeah. So it's this excessive blaming, right? My kids, like their bedroom sometimes look like a tornado went through, okay? And you ask them to go clean up their room. First off, I had to ask them to clean up their room, okay? Then they look at it and they just throw a fit because it's hopeless. So what do you do? Well, you have to tell them, well, pick up the dolls first. Pick up the dirty clothes. Pick up the books. Pick up the crayons. In other words, you have to tell them what to do all the time. In a sense, which leads to a little more of that, okay? Were there any extras right there? All right. Sometimes they, what happens if they get caught? What do they do?
They lie.
You got it. A good friend of mine, his, one time he was staying home with his son, and his son was probably about 3, maybe 4 at the time. And, you know, it was that sort of quiet. He was sort of independent in a sense. This quiet time for a little too long. So he goes, "David, where are you?" And in he comes, chocolate from ear to ear. "What you been doing, David?" "Nothing." You know, and it's obvious. You know, that's why little kids think parents are omniscient. You know, they just know all things. And so my friend asked him again, "Now, David, what have you been doing?" And this time he thinks about it a little longer. "Nothing." And then my friend, who is the dad, just sort of shakes his head, says, "David, I want you to tell Daddy the truth. What have you been doing?" And he thinks about it a long time and finally says, "Nothing." And so he says, "David, you have chocolate from ear to ear. Where did you hide the wrappers?" And so they march into his room and they're behind the toy box. But see, not only do they lie, but they cover up too. Okay? All right, let's talk about junior high, high school. Okay? What is their main goal for a lot of them? Acceptance. And how do they get it? Okay, making an identity. But in a sense, they don't want to be their own person. They want to be normal. There's a few that want to be that way. But for the most part, they want to fit in. They want to know they're normal. Okay? So what do they focus on? How do they get normal?
Act like everybody else.
So they're, Clothes. They focus on their appearance. Clothes is a big deal. I have a 12-year-old at home. Hair. I mean, it just takes a long time. And you're going, "It looks fine." But it's, you know, looking in the mirror for a while. I don't know. But appearance is important. Okay? What else? Why do they want that? Why is appearance important? What will that get them?
Acceptance.
It gets them acceptance by who?
Their peers.
Their peers. And the opposite sex. Yeah. Right. Okay. So we have a real focus on appearance. And they learn how to talk. And it's still in their immature patterns. Okay. The goal is to fit in. They're really into consumerism because they have to have stuff to fit in. A lot of times this age, they're overwhelmed with feelings of inadequacy. They don't want to attempt things because they're going to fail. They don't want to look bad. Okay, so there's a lot of feelings of inadequacy, fear of failure. What happens? Let's say I'm trying to find it. Here's a group of girls. You disappear for just a second, all right? You're invisible, all right? Now, let's say Mike was, I don't know your name, was dating so-and-so, all right? And you broke up with her, all right? Now, what do the rest of you think of him? Yeah, right. And, I mean, there's all kinds of slander and malice and all that kind of stuff going on, right? Yeah. Along with jealousy is what? What are they constantly doing?
Comparing,
right. And see, that's because they focus on appearance all the time. Okay? Dating patterns, when, let's say, Mike and Christy break up, what's there a good chance of?
Rebound dating,
right. Okay, a lot of that goes on. Also, do you see these guys spending way too much money? You know, they have an allowance of $20 and they go blow $20. They're not very good with their money because they want to impress. Right. Okay. And this is in a sense is what people can grow up with, is parents emphasize basically three things. Any idea what those three would be? Their performance. Okay, in the area of talent. Yeah, like their performance in music or art or sports. Okay, what else? Their brains, right. And what would be the third? Their appearance, their looks, right. Okay, now, you know, I've been around college students long enough to hear stories of, you know, the little girl on the phone, or the college gal on the phone, talking to mom and dad are always asking, well, are you dating anyone yet? Okay? What's that all about? Because if you're not, then you need to work on either something, one of these kind of deals, okay? And see, sometimes parents pressure their children into, in a sense, performing for them or looking good for them because they're concerned about their appearance, okay? Oh, which is sort of a funny thing, is because these stories about parents dropping their kids off at school. Where do they want them dropped off a lot of times? You know, a block or two away, so they're not seen with their parents, right? Because kids are embarrassed to their parents, and parents, in a sense, are, don't you dare embarrass me. So, you know, it's strange. They go both ways. But it's both of those, in a sense, are immature. All right. So we have all this stuff going on. What does this look like in adulthood? What happens in temper tantrums when the kid gets the toy? What does that look like in adulthood?
Spoiled.
He's spoiled, right. What are some of the habits that can come out of that? It's an entitlement. I have a right to have it, and I have a right to have it when?
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. And so what do they use? Plastic. Yeah. And why is our country just full of consumer debt? Okay. And that's also this. Okay. You know, there are people who are quiet, and then there's people that are a lot more shy, and they're really controlled by fear. You know, there's a difference between being quiet and being fearful. You know, it's the same kind of deal. We're a lot better at this. We can be deceitful. And we're still into this, aren't we? We're still into this. Still into that. See, all these kind of things can be characteristics of adults. And see, we want to get these out of our life. All right. Now what I want you to do is, and you guys back there can work as a group. You four can, the back row, and then these four right here. Okay? Now what I want you to do is to look at some passages that talk about, you'll see a lot of these characteristics. Hopefully you wrote them down. Look at these passages and look at mature characteristics. What do they look like?
I enlist them.
Okay? Right. This is the other side. Take about 7 minutes, so work quickly. While you're doing this, look at the benefits. In other words, why it would motivate you to maturity. Why would you want to be mature? Okay? Okay. I think you probably have a pretty extensive list of what maturity looks like. And I just overheard a lot of the how you contrasted one column to the other. And it matched up quite well, didn't it? So, what were some of the things that you saw coming from a mature person?
Honesty.
Versus lying and covering up, right? What?
Loving in their speech.
Okay, encouraging speech, right? Good.
Stability.
Stability, okay.
Self-control.
Humility.
Making the most of your time.
Making the most of their time. Not, yeah, using it wisely. I have a 14-year-old that somewhere, you know, he's studying space quite well. Okay, grateful, yeah.
And wise and cautious as opposed to trusting to the Father.
Okay, right. Good.
Understanding.
Understanding, right, good.
I don't know if you've already mentioned hard working.
Hard working, good. Yeah, being responsible. Right, good. So, they don't have to... Good, yeah.
Kind and compassionate.
Right. All right. I think you've got quite a bit of them. What did you find out of James 4? Did you get to... Okay, James 4, 1 through 6. Where do the arguments come from?
Desire for pleasure.
Yeah, the desires which rage in us.
Yeah.
Okay, and so what happens when we don't get them? Anger, rage, all that kind of stuff. Okay? We have not because we ask not, and we do not receive because why? Yeah. We want to spend it on our own pleasures, right? Because of the love of the world. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. The immature part of that verse is what? God has not given us this timidity, fearfulness, right? But a power of love and self-control or a sound mind. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. This is one we didn't really get to. And that's when my kids are young. The older they get, I want to have to remind them less and less. But what is that? To say what? Thank you. Okay? And here, have you ever heard of the discipline of gratitude? Working on the discipline of gratitude. Because in that Colossians 2:7 verse, overflowing with gratitude, the tense of that word means a continual thing, continual habit. And so it is sort of a discipline of gratitude. And listen to that, a biblical scholar, his name is Dr. J.B. Lightfoot, said, those who lack a deep sense of thankfulness to God are especially vulnerable to doubt and spiritual delusionment. I think that's good. I think that's really true. Because we focus on what we don't have and we don't focus on trusting God. Because gratitude, in a sense, is saying, I trust God. Okay, and is content with what we have. So, I think you guys did a good job of milking what those verses were about. But in the immature, if you look at the immature column, where's the focus?
Self.
When you look at the mature column, where's the focus?
Others.
Where else? God. Right? Okay, isn't that amazing? The more mature we get, the less we need to focus on ourselves. Anybody in here ever have problems with anger? Like when you drive down the road? Okay. You know, a simple definition of anger is a blocked goal. And if you want to get somewhere, and somebody's driving slow and inconsiderate in front of you, just totally brain dead, and you get a little angry, it's because you have a blocked goal. Okay? Simple definition. So how does an immature person handle that? Yeah, malice, slander, all that kind of stuff, right? Road rage. I mean, I came to the conclusion one time, and this has really helped, that, well, for one, if I'm late, it's probably my fault anyway. Okay? And for two, they're not going that slow that I'm going to be that much more late. Maybe a minute. You know, big deal. And I want to live a little longer. And all the stress and all that, it's going to kill me. All right. So, let's talk about how we can get maturity into our life. First thing we need to do, and that's 7 steps to maturity. All right. Number one is we need to identify the behaviors. Alright? So if I'm angry, if I have a problem with anger, okay, or if I have a problem with complaining, I have a problem with lust, if I have a problem with comparing, all these kind of things, I need to identify those. Okay? The second thing, and it's difficult, is this one. Own it. What is one immature characteristic?
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. Right. In our, you know, this generation, aren't my generation, your generation, is full of people that want to blame their parents or blame society, blame something, and they're a victim. Okay? And sure, we are victims in a sense, but if I'm angry, whose stuff is that? It's mine. It's mine. If I tell one of my children to go clean his room and he doesn't do it and I get angry, whose fault is it? It's mine, not his. So I need to own it. And that is a big step. Because growth will begin where blame ends. Okay? Growth begins when blame ends. We gotta own it. Third thing we need to do is trace it back. Now, why in the world would we want to do that? Well, it's important that we trace things back because it helps us understand what's triggering that. Okay? It helps us just get a better grasp or an understanding of why we do what we do. Because like the speaker earlier today, we behave in a way which is consistent with the way we perceive ourselves. What we believe is how we act. Okay? And see, we need to understand where we get some of these beliefs. So if we totally feel inadequate all the time, then we need to trace it back and go, wow. You know, I remember my mom or my dad never really praised me, never really said I could do anything well. You know, little art projects you come home with? Did they wrinkle them up, throw them away? Did they give them any attention? Did they put them on the art museum of the house? Where's the art museum of the house? The refrigerator, right. And see, all that kind of stuff goes on. And so we need to trace it back. Grab that one. Pass it out. I'm handing out a sheet that talks about intimacy needs because we're all created with the need for intimacy. And there's 10 here, and you see the definitions. And some of these sort of blur together, all right? But see, if we have these needs and they go unmet, then we will try and get them met because we need them, okay? A mature person, where does he get those needs met? God. Or he allows others to. Okay? But he doesn't have to manipulate life to get them. Okay? That's when immaturity comes in. When somebody has to manipulate life to get these needs met. Sort of like the illustration that they go around with this big umbilical cord and they stick it into somebody and start sucking. Okay? Because they have to get their needs met. And you see this in marriages. where they manipulate one another to get fulfilled. Okay? This will be a homework assignment. But you can see, you know, look back at mom and dad. How did they do that? Or significant others. Okay? And significant others might be teachers, might be peers, might be grandparents, people who had an important role in your life. Okay? Now on the back, there's the column here are the needs, what a person looks like when these needs go met, or they get met. Those are mature characteristics, aren't they? When they go unmet, those are immature characteristics. So you can see some of the problem, again, is identifying behaviors that are immature. This will help you identify some of those. Okay? And get a friend. And remember this. A true friend is this. Faithful are deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Okay? So we need to have those kind of friends who will be brutally honest, who love us that much. Okay? Now, the fourth step is to forgive. Matthew 18:21 through 35 is that story of the rich ruler who had the servant who owed the rich ruler mucho dinero. No hope of ever really, paying him back. But he said, "You owe me nothing. Your debt's forgiven." And then he went out, and then the guy owed him $10, and he didn't have it. You know the story. Forgiveness basically is this, is releasing a debt. So if you look at that need sheet, and let's say your parents, in a sense, owed you acceptance, owed you comfort, owed you security, owed you encouragement, and they didn't do a very good job, you're letting that debt go. Allowing God to take care of all the justice that needs to be done. Okay? Fifth, and this is maybe one of the most difficult for some, forgiving yourself. You know, it's interesting that what did Jesus' death on the cross, what did it pay? What was it good for? All our sin, right? Why, in a sense, do we hold our sin like it's some kind of special category? Like, you know, there's a clause written in there somewhere that Jesus' death didn't pay for mine. I have to do something to earn it. Why do we wallow in that guilt? Where's that from? Satan. What's one of his names? The accuser of the brethren. Okay? And he likes to rub our nose. See what you did? You really don't love God. You should have never done that. And on and on and on and on and on. Okay? Sixth one. Pray for freedom and wisdom. And then the seventh, it's important to do a couple of things. One is dwell in our identity in Christ. but to think through things. What did 1 Corinthians 14:20 say? I know you didn't have you look that up, but somebody look that up and read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 14:20.
Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature.
Okay. We need to take a hold of our thoughts, taking them captive to the obedience of Christ. All right, now, this is going to be tricky for some of you because you have to deal with two sheets at one time. These two go together. Pass these out, would you please? Some of this comes out of a book called Search for Significance. Some of you probably have done that. I highly recommend it. Do we have any medical people in here? Medical people, you know, study of anatomy, physiology, know all that kind of stuff. All right. Well, you'll have to trust me. All right. In life, we have situations, all right? And we need to ask, and that's part of the wisdom, we need to ask God, what are those situations that get us in trouble? For example, if I lose it, get angry, and get on my son's case when I walk in his room and I see a mess. Okay, that's the situation. Okay? Then, we go down here to step two, false beliefs, down on the bottom. Could I be taking this personally? Okay? Now, people, when other people are responsible for my identity, they're in trouble. You know what I mean by that?
They're in trouble.
I am too, but they are. So, for example, if my children are responsible for my identity, they're in trouble because there's no way they can make me feel good about myself in a sense. And I'm always twisting them. I'm always on their case, looking over them all the time because they're responsible for who I am, what other people will think. So, for example, if a messy room, people would think, wow, he's not a very good parent. Well, I got to get him in shape so he cleans his room so people will think I'm a good parent. See how that works? Big lie, isn't it? So I could be taking it personally. What am I telling myself about me, God, or others in this situation? Okay? Figure those kind of things out. What are my thoughts about me, others, and others involved? See, all this is negative stuff. Negative self-talk is what that says. Which leads to a feeling in response to that situation. And what are my emotions? Are my emotions stress, anger, that kind of deal? What should my emotions be? Peace. Right? And then what's the negative behavior? In other words, what did I do in response? Did I yell at him because he didn't get his room clean? Or am I cleaning his room for him? See all that how that stuff works? All right, now. Here's the thing, is that a lot of times people get up here with a bad habit, all right? Let's say it's anger. And then we think, well, all we have to do is control it or stop it. So we just go, here, right? Wrong. Because here's what happens. And here's where the anatomy and physiology fits in. What happens in our brain is when we see this situation, we go here. I mean, it's because there is a pathway built in our system. Okay? And so, when I look at that and I just have all these thoughts, I mean, it's automatic. You've been there, haven't you? And here's something else that's interesting. If I pray that my son will clean his room, you know what that does? Digs that pathway even deeper. Why? Because I'm thinking about the same thing. Maybe a little differently, but it's making that pathway the same. And this is sort of the way a picture would look like. You've taken cardboard or poster board or something like that, and you want to cut it, and you have your little straight edge right there, and you take your razor blade and you just cut right along that straight edge. And you do that about 3 or 4 times. Do you need the straight edge there anymore? No, you don't. And that's the way these patterns develop. It's just automatic. And so the way we break those is taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay? We got to rework it. And this is how some of that can happen. Okay, if I visualize my son's room, okay, or that situation that leads me down that path I don't want to go. And what does God say about me and others in this situation? Okay? I need to ask those kind of questions. In other words, start to develop another pathway. And I have to work at this. And this is why it's so important to dwell on who we are in Christ. And there's some of those ideas on the back of that page right here. Okay? That's why it's so important that we do that. Not in the middle of it, because it's going to be really hard then. We have to do that when those situations aren't there. It's sort of like we need to take vitamins. We need to exercise so that when those situations come, we're prepared. Okay? And I think that's how we break out of those immature patterns and move into mature patterns. But we've got to work at this. Remember the needs list? They fit a lot with who we are in Christ. And we've got to start choosing to allow the Lord to fill our heart instead of trying to manipulate others to do that for us or manipulate life. And I think people that you'll find the more that you do this, the more you'll understand that God is really the filler of our heart. And we can honestly sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You ever sang that song and you didn't feel anything? Felt like a liar? There's probably a good chance you were. Because, you know, it's a nice thought, but do we really love Him? And there's a good chance we don't, because we really don't know Him. Not really. Not personally. Colossians talks about it over and over again, about the true knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. Personal knowledge. Okay? And that's what we want. Let's look over at Philippians 2. We're going to start with verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. What is that? Immaturity, right? But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Maturity. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. See, it's all right to look for at your interests. But not only. Don't always be occupied with self. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. By the way, who is the best model of maturity we've ever seen? Jesus. So this fits us. This is the goal. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, maturity is for the glory of God. Okay? Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. See, God is working in us. He's revealing these things in us so that we can get to maturity. So do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. All right? And when you think about that, see, my goal as a parent is my desire is that, you know, there's some self-centeredness here, but I desire for them to be mature. I want them to be people who are godly. And in a sense there's some pride there, and I got to work on that. But think about it. If you're a parent, remember, and we tell this to our kids, remember, you're not like everybody else. Or Jaques's. And you need to act like that. And they know that, see, some of my kids, my daughter has been since made fun of because our family's too Christian-y. That's the word they used. And see, that was a compliment. Because she's shone like a star in a dark and depraved world. And see, that's what we need to be like. And so as we mature, we, in a sense, will glorify our Father because He's at work in us. And we, in a sense, want to make Him proud, in a sense. We don't want to put stumbling blocks in front of other people or dishonor His name. Okay? Are there any questions? I encourage you to work through that stuff. Because I know a lot of you want to help other people grow. And as you work through this, guess what you'll be able to do? Help other people. And if you don't work through this, don't go give it to somebody. Okay? Because you're not going to... Well, you can. Maybe they'll use it. But the impact that it will have on another person, you'll share it out of conviction, not out of an idea. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. and just how it reveals truth about how to live. Not only how to live, but it gives us an idea of what life looks like. So, Father, help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to listen to your Spirit. Because, God, you are not the kind of Father who's on our case to harass us or to give us a hard time. But you're a loving Father who wants his children to walk in maturity because it is the best way to live. And as a good Father, you discipline us. So help us to be wise, not foolish, and receive your discipline. So again, that we can walk in maturity because it honors you. So thank you for this time. Amen.